song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy.
Welcome to the Organic Grow Show with Denny Dank.
Hello, all my green pals. Welcome back to another exciting show. Show number 6 of the Organic Grow Show. And I promise you that this show isn't going to blow. If it does, I guess you can just vent off some steam. That's right, we're talking about ventilation today. One of the most important things, yet one of the most underrated things that any serious grower is going to tell you, that controlling your ventilation and the temperatures in your room is really difficult. So I'm going to be helping you out with that today. Hopefully we can give you guys some advice and we can try to prevent future problems down the road. That's the whole point of the show, you know, just to get information out there to all our fellow growers. So if you've got something that you think that people need to know, then I need to hear it. Send it to me. If I messed up, if I'm giving people bad information, don't be afraid to call me out on it. Because the last thing that I want to do is lie to my listeners. I'm going to try to be as straightforward with everyone, and I just want to share some of the knowledge that I've gotten from all the books and experience and all the reading I've done. Not to mention, I'm just trying to get the message out there that organics is accessible. It's easy. It's important. It can save the planet. It can save your health. Organics are the future. And if you don't think that's true, then you should just open up your eyes and look around at what's going on in the world. You know, cancers are at all-time high, diabetes, birth defects, heart failures. The world, the Western world, is definitely not healthy. You know, the quality of what we put into our bodies and what we expose ourselves to are starting to impact our lives. And we need to wake up. Organics the way, man. Now, I know that you hear this stuff a lot these days. It's very popular, talking green and being green, which I'm all for it. It's all well and good. You know, I'm happy to see a movement happening, but you know, I just want to let people know it's not just hype. This show is not hype. I'm going to give you the best information that I can give you without all the bull and hype, basically. But really, every day that I walk into my local grocery store or even Walmart, I'm just blown away to see more and more organic choices as a consumer. And that's just amazing, you know. That just goes to show that in a capitalistic society, we don't vote with our words or our polls anymore. We vote with our money, you know. For the greedy corporate heads and all those kinds of people, the only thing that they can hear is money. Money talks, you know, louder than words. And let your voice be heard, man. Buy, even if you can barely afford it, buy the organic stuff, you know. It might be a little bit more expensive, but you'll feel good knowing that you're contributing to society and letting corporations know that you are choosing to be green. You're choosing organics. And as more and more of these types of products become available, I think that we do need to have we just have to have more transparency and have certain standards and quality control, because I know that there is a lot of fake green and organic labeled things out there that, you know, most average people, they would just look at it and say, oh, it says it's green and it must be green. So we need to have some sort of regulation here, and I think that the same should be true with marijuana. I mean, it should definitely be regulated, as just to have everyone on the same page, you know, what is organic. Because if you go to your local hydroponic store and you tell them that you want to grow some organic stuff, they might not give you the best information. They might just hand you a bottle of Pure Blend Pro and say, there you go, that's organic, when really it isn't. So, you know, there really needs to be some transparency and just everyone on the same page. That's all. There's nothing wrong with that. But that is just my opinion, of course. It's just really shocking. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, when I first got into organics, I truly believed that if you got a product off of the shelf from the hydro store and it said it was organic, I 100% believed in that. I had no idea that there was still harsh, heavy metal sources and chemicals and all that stuff in there. Some forms of salts and nutrients can stay inside the plant more than our organic version of it and make it harsher, especially with the heavy metals. And EDT is definitely one that they've found that can stay in the plant and even in the end product, and that's just really bad for your health. So, but it's not just that. It's also maintaining a happy environment for your roots. Like we've talked about before, you want your soil to be alive, super alive, with all kinds of good, friendly microbes. And when you put inorganic salts into your soil, you're really, really hurting that diversity that's helping your plant. So really important, you know, if you really want to get awesome results and great yields and just a really thriving plant, you have to maintain an extremely live and vivacious soil. You know, I kind of wish that there was like a test or something out there that you could easily just test your soil to find out the biodiversity of it. That would be pretty awesome. I mean, I'd imagine that if you had a microscope, you could probably see the life. But after a while, if you are regularly inoculating your plants with the microbes and you're using compost teas and stuff, you'll notice that right away it'll start peaking up. And if you mess something up and you accidentally give it some chlorine, you can just kind of tell that the plant isn't happy. It's almost reacts to it. And it's not the chlorine that the plant's reacting to, it's the destruction of your living soil that the plant reacts to. Deficiencies will start taking place because those microbes that were breaking down organic matter for the roots, they're not there anymore. And so that's how your plants just, they start becoming unhappy. So that's the only real way to tell if your soil life isn't thriving. But as soon as you can see this, it's pretty much too late anyway. So you really just want to be more proactive about it and have a schedule of applying compost teas that's alive, or, you know, just applying forms of mycoderma, trichoderma, all your beneficials. You want to do it on a regular basis. You want to maintain a really good level. Okay, got it, everyone? Keep your soil alive. Alright, so I'm just going to take a little break right quick. A little Medicaid break. That's okay with you guys. I'm still waiting on my Iolite, so if you got a spare Iolite you want to send my way, or any kind of vaporizer, I'd be really happy. Okay, here we go. Oh yeah, that's super tasty. Super duper tasty. Don't really know what it is. I mixed up all my stuff. I think this one is papaya. One of my favorite plants. Actually, hands down, my favorite plant that I have ever seen. It is just incredible. It's really cool to watch it in the garden. It starts off kind of slow. You put it in the flower. It shoots off really early and it just starts really flowering right away. Usually one of the first ones to just really start flowering. And it has it's definitely a hybrid growth structure. Your leaves are kind of in between indica and sativa. It gets a little tall. It doesn't stretch too much. It likes to get a little tall. So I like to flower it early. But man, it's just a great plant. It's really mind-blowing when you watch it alongside other strains. Because this thing just really grows big buds really, really fast, and you can just see the weight just being put on, and it's an amazing yielder, but it still has, it's actually one of the, a really, really strong uppy smoke, and it's shocking how it's a big yield, and it's very potent, and just tastes amazing. It tastes very different than pretty much anything I've ever smoked, and it smells really different as well. It's always recognizable. It's how I just recognize it, you know. I just got that whiff of the, like, a spicy kind of sweet smell, kind of like honey and cherry, but it's fermenting and rotting. That's kind of what it smells like. It smells like it probably tastes pretty damn good, and I can vouch for that. Yes, so check it out, Papaya. It used to be called Mango from Nirvana. I think they might have changed it a little bit, the genetics, when they changed the name. I don't know about that, though. I haven't really researched it too much. But I do believe that it came from KC Brains' Mango, KC33, which is a pretty awesome plant from what I've heard. So check that strain out, guys. It's really good. Nirvana in general is just really, really great. I like Nirvana a lot. And you can't beat their prices. It's like, what, $30 or something for a pack? Not too bad for some really good genetics. You do get a lot of phenoms, I've noticed, with some strains from Nirvana. Not that many. But usually, for the price, I mean, you usually get some pretty stellar plants. Alright, that's enough rambling for now. I guess we should get on with today's topic, which is ventilation. And guys, I'm really sorry about the choppiness of today's show. And the last one, I think last one. I've been messing around with my program that I used to record. And I'm trying to get it just right so that it records automatically. So what's happening is it records when it hears my voice. And the reason why it's getting choppy is because it has like a little buffer and it readjusts itself. So to fix the choppiness, it has this feature. I haven't been able to find the sweet spot. So bear with me. Sorry about that. On with the show. I don't have any emails for you today. I did get an email from Miss Mary, but I already emailed her back because she was having some issues with a seedling of hers, which we did. I think we did get to the bottom of it. I think she does have some super healthy seedlings now, so way to go, Anne. And I hope you enjoy that prize that I sent you. I did also get an email from Dr. Dog and his partner, Black Rain. And Black Rain's gonna hopefully be coming on the show sometime for an interview. And Dr. Dog just wanted to know, you know, just say hey and wanted to know when we were gonna have another show out. So I really appreciate Dr. Dog and Black Rain for just staying in touch. And, you know, you guys should just head over to OGA Seed Bank, check out some of their genetics. And if you didn't hear my last show, show number 5, when we interviewed Dr. Dog, you gotta check that out. A really awesome interview. He's a really, really good guy, man. This is a stand-up guy. I really enjoyed him. Again, if you have any emails or questions, comments, suggestions, ideas, rants, raves, I don't care. If you got whatever you got, send it to me. And send it to dennydink@gmail.com. It's pretty easy. It's all one word. And you could end up on the show. And you could end up with prizes, maybe. I don't know. I'm hoping. I got some more prizes that I'm holding on to. I might do some fundraisers because Denny Dank needs some extra equipment, hopefully, to get the quality of the show right. And possibly we might need to purchase some hosting, stuff like that. So I do need to raise some capital. So if you guys wish to donate, feel free. Head over to http://... I always get those confused. organicgrowshow.blogspot.com. Head on over there and just scroll down to the bottom of the page. Halfway down, you will see a little button that says donate. It's a little PayPal button, and we could really use it. What anything you got will help out. Hoping to get some better hosting for the might be running out of bandwidth on our audio podcasts, so that's something that I'm going to have to take. I've been sort of looking into lately. I haven't quite figured it out. And also, I want to get some sort of message board going on and just have a little community. I might just ask for a little spot on the Grow Report forums and maybe get some donations sent to them for that. Or even, I just found out that the OGA Seed Bank, they have a new forum on their website too. So check that out. I might ask them if they might give me a little spot on their message boards for our little, if you want to sign up and talk to fellow listeners out there. You know, get to know each other and stuff like that. All of us organic people, we need to stick together. So that's something that I'll be looking into, guys. Also, you'll know, since you're on my page, please look around. If you click, you'll see a little blue button that says call me. It's a Skype button. If you have Skype and a microphone, you could press that button and it'll go to our voicemail. You could just leave us a voicemail, you know, just say hello or something. Ask me a question and we'll definitely put that on the show. You might get a prize. There's also a little cool normal action alert banner that I threw in there. You know, just got little news about what's going on in Normal. Let's see, they've introduced a Senate companion bill to legalize medical marijuana in Pennsylvania. That's pretty freaking awesome. That's exciting. I hope that works out. Please, if you support legalization, you need to be active and you need to get out, vote, make sure that cannabis-friendly candidates that are running for office get your vote and donate money, become a member of Normal and the Marijuana Policy Project. Definitely get involved into your local happenings and join your local Normal. Very important. Do it now. Because we're tired of being ignored. It's time for everyone to just speak up and get this legalized for the sake of humanity and all future generations and all the people whose lives have been destroyed. This war is just a complete failure. And we're just dragging it on and on and on. And we just stand up, everybody. Do something. Get informed. Vote. Group together. Power in numbers. All right. March to your local city hall, town hall. Email your senators, your representatives. Get heard, okay? I mean, we're majority of the nation knows, doesn't just believe, knows for with a fact that the drug war is a waste of money and a waste of life. So please don't let me down and get heard. Guys ready to get blown away? Excuse me. Again, ventilation's imperative in the beginning stages, design stage of your grow space. You just want to do some basic math to figure out the grow space that you're going to be using and the correct size ventilation that you will need. Now, I've said it before, just basically go bigger. It's better than going smaller. When you're getting your fan, go ahead and buy a bigger fan. Just, you're not always going to be in the same space. Usually you're going to go bigger at some point. Do yourself a favor and just get the bigger things first. That way you don't have to buy 2 6-inch fans. Why not just go out and get a 10-inch fan or something like that? All right, so we're gonna do some talk about a basic formula so that you can figure out what kind of ventilation that you're gonna require. I'm just gonna talk about some basic ventilation. What you want to do is you want to have either an active or a passive intake, which is your fresh air coming through. You want a very good source of very cool air. You know, get your air from a crawl space or a well air conditioned room. You want your air that's coming in below 70 degrees and above 65, and you want it to have lots of CO2 in it. This is the air going into your space. Then you want to vent your air out of your space with a larger fan. Best way is to keep your intake lower in your room and your outtake or your exhaust or your ventilation, you want your exhaust to be higher in the room, opposite, the furthest away from your intake. That way, all your fresh air travels completely through the room and just maximizes your efficiency. When designing your room, you also want to make sure that it's airtight. Use expanding foam and caulking and just get everything airtight, because you want to create space that has an environment that you can control completely. You also want to insulate your space as much as possible. And even if you're in a warm environment, you might be wondering, well, why should I insulate it? Won't I be trapping the heat? Not necessarily. What you're doing is you want to prevent radiant heat from coming into your space from outside sources. And you also want to contain your cooler air. You don't want your temperatures in your room to be fluctuating. You want it to be consistent, and so you should insulate your room. On top of just better temperature control of your grow space, another benefit of insulating is also your sound. Most types of insulation, your most basic, just like a foam kind that you can get in disposable coolers, you know, you could use fiberglass. There's all kinds of things out there. Go to your hardware store and find something that's in your budget and works good. Don't forget, you still want your walls to be reflective, so something you can paint on is important as well. But anyway, it's good to create a sound barrier so that your vibrations is what causes sounds, and you don't want your vibrations going through the walls and being heard from other places within the house. If you have somebody coming over, you know, you still want to keep everything as secretive as possible. You don't want other people to hear anything. Insulate your room. Not to mention, if you're sleeping in the next room over, it can get pretty loud. If you got a decent size fan and some big ballast going on, it's going to be loud in there. So it's going to keep you awake, and that's not fun. So just think about insulation. So where are we at? You got your room insulated. Just imagine a box. Let's just imagine our grow space is just a 4 feet by 4 feet square box. And it's insulated with some foam, some nice foam all around it. You got it completely airtight. You've caulked all the joints. You've put expanding foam into all your cracks. You got it light tight. No lights getting in, no lights getting out. You've got it airtight. And you've got it temperature tight. You're going to maintain a constant temperature and insulate it from radiant heat to come in and escape from the room. And you're going to have your intake, and you're going to have your exhaust. What you want to do, imagine one beautiful plant in this box growing. You're 3 weeks into flower. You got some nice buds forming, and you got some nice odors forming, okay? This could be a major problem. You don't want people smelling your ganja. It's bad. It helps to have your room insulated. That's going to keep and airtight, so your smells are staying in the box for now. Okay, let's say you don't have your fan on, your exhaust on yet, and you don't have your intake. Everything's just sealed. So the way that smells work is they penetrate through microscopic holes that are in materials, and so the better you insulate your room, the better it is for smells not escaping. Now, the best way to control your smells is to use a carbon filter. I think it's the cheapest, best way to do it, and connect your carbon filter to your exhaust fan. And the important thing, even if you don't use a carbon filter, a good way of controlling your odor is to really, really, really make sure that you have a small intake fan or a passive intake and a properly sized exhaust. What you want to do is you want to create a negative pressure in your square box. You want the exhaust at the top of this chamber to pull all of the air and all of the odor out of that exhaust hole. You want it to pull everything out through that hole, so you're creating this negative pressure, you know? Because what happens, let's say you've got a 6-inch 6-inch exhaust fan and an 8-inch intake fan. What you're doing now in your box is you're creating a positive pressure. You're pushing air into the room instead of pulling the air out of the room. So you're getting a buildup of pressure, and this is your odor as well. And your pressure's got to come out somewhere. So it's just going to find all kinds of little places to come out. You might think it's airtight, but it's not. You got cracks. And so it's your air's going to escape out of your pressure's going to come out of the cracks and everything like that. And just think of that. Think about what else is coming out of this box. Your odor. You're not going to be able to control your odor if it's just spewing out of cracks everywhere. That's why it's super important to create negative vacuum sort of pressure, just pulling all of the air and all of the odor out of your room. Got it? You got your intake low in the room, you got your exhaust opposite end above in the room, because heat rises. You want to exhaust heat and odor from your room as the main purpose of your exhaust. Let's talk about the types of exhausts that you can use. You got all kinds of options here. There's your basic muffin fan or just your basic AC axial fan, which is like a computer fan. You can use computer fans, you know, if you're just growing in a little box, look for a computer fan. What you're looking for in any exhaust or fan or any kind of fan that you're going to purchase is CFM rating. This is your cubic foot per minute. How much air is your fan going to move per minute? That's the most important thing to consider. And then you also want to think about, you want to look at the pressures and the CFM at that pressure, because if you have a long duct hooked up to your fan or a carbon filter, that's causing a pressure or resistance on the exhaust fan. And obviously when you're adding filter or any kind of resistance or long runs or bends into your system, it's gonna make it less efficient and you're not gonna get as many CFM. So you really want to plan for all these sort of things. You want to think about, am I using a filter? How long is my ducting going to be? And then you want to look at fans that can handle a certain pressure and what the CFM rating is going to be at that pressure. You know, the best way to design your room is to just plan every little angle out to make sure that it's going to be as efficient as possible. Back to the types of fans that there are. You got your computer fan or axial fan. These you can get. I wouldn't recommend using this for a large room. You can use them for a closet, would be the biggest that I would go. You could use them. The best thing that you would use these for is for intake, an active intake for your room, and small grow cabs for all you micro cab growers out there. Computer fans are perfect. As long as I've seen some really, really powerful computer fans. I mean, you'd be surprised. Some of these can move some serious air. I mean, they don't have a lot of torque. They can't handle a lot of pressure, but they can move some air. That's for sure. So if you don't need to run ducting, you know, these things are really cool. They're pretty decent too to use for air cooling. I created my own air cooled hood one time. You know, I was on a very tight budget, and I happened to find a really good deal on a construction light that was on Craigslist. I think I paid $25 for it. It was a metal highlight, a 400 watt metal highlight construction that they use on construction sites for lighting, and it was pretty cool. It had like a little reflector hooked up right next to the ballast and everything like that. So I took it all apart, you know, I took out the ballast and I just added a wire to it, and I added my socket to the end of the wire. So that way it was a remote ballast. And then I just sort of fabricated this basic parabolic hood reflector out of some leftover ducting, aluminum ducting pieces. And then I put a piece of glass. I had a piece of glass cut out to fit the bottom of it. And I think I just used some wood for the sides of it, and I just used some Thermaltake computer fans. They were 120 millimeter, something like 85 CFM. Actually, I think they were like 120 CFM. I used two of them. I used one on one end, one on the other, and seriously, that was an air-cooled hood for a 400 watt Metal Highline, and it was cool to the touch. It worked perfectly. So these fans are really versatile. Don't forget about the computer fan. Don't just write them off. The next step from that would be just a duct fan. A lot of people call them a booster fan because they're just not very powerful. It's the same sort of motor that's in a computer fan, just a little bit bigger. So again, they don't have a lot of torque or ability to handle a lot of pressure. They come in all kinds of sizes. They're round. You can add them into a duct pretty easily. Anywhere from 4-inch to like 12-inch. And, you know, this is what I use in my space because I have a very small space. It's basically just a closet. And what I did is I took a huge one. It's like a 12-inch one because this one actually has a bigger motor. And something like 250 CFM or something like that. And it really does move a crap ton of air. And that's what I use in my room as my exhaust, and it works perfectly. It's perfectly strong enough for a small closet. These things are really, really nifty. They're cheap, too, is one good thing. I think I've got mine for like $60. They're really, really cheap. And another type of fan that you'll be seeing at most places is what's called a blower or a squirrel cage fan. It kind of looks like a snail shell shape, and they're very wide. It has a spinning circular sort of fan blade that's inside of the unit, and they're pretty powerful. They're good at torque. They can handle good pressure. They can move a lot of air. They're kind of expensive sometimes, but they're a little bit old school. They're kind of obsolete, I'd say, these days. I wouldn't recommend them because the problem is that they're very noisy and you don't want to have too much noise. Now let's talk about the Sirius fan. This is the fan that I would recommend for most growers. If you're growing in a room, large room, or closet, get yourself an inline centrifugal blower, or they're called a can fan. That's a brand that makes them as well. Lots of manufacturers. You got Vortex, Can Fan, Hydro Farm, Eco Plus. Tons of manufacturers out there. These things are really, really strong. They're pretty quiet. They're very, very convenient to work with in a garden. You got an inlet, an outlet. You just hook up your ducting to it. Really great product. They can be pricey. They can be pretty expensive. Usually they start off, if you're lucky, on eBay. You can get one, like a 6-inch or a 4-inch one, for probably about $75, $100. But retail, if you go to a retail store, you're definitely looking at least $150 plus tax. So they're pricey, but they're worth it. And like I've said a couple times, go big. The biggest one that you can afford, because it'll really make a big difference. These things move a shit ton of air. I mean, I've seen a guy that had a big room that was divided into three separate grow rooms, and he was running like 8 1,000-watt lights, which he had a one room that all the ballasts were in, and his main exhaust, this was his main exhaust just for the whole entire room that had all the three separate rooms in it. He had like a 12-inch Vortex fan, and this thing was so powerful, it would cool off that room from like 90 degrees all the way down to 75 in like 2 seconds. It was just really, really powerful, and it was so powerful he had to use a dimmer switch or a fan speed controller to turn it down because he didn't need it to be that strong. But if he ever upgrades or gets a bigger room, it's going to be handy to have it on, you know, that fan already. Not to mention they last a really long time, 5, 6, 7 years. Really good investment. But don't just get some 4-inch fan. That's kind of pointless. You could probably get better and cheaper if you just use a 6-inch duct fan if you're looking at a 4-inch can fan. Very minimum, just get a 6-inch if you want to be proactive and save a little money down the road. Splurge, spend a couple bucks more and get the 8-inch or 10-inch. You know, it'll make a big difference. You can turn them down if you need to. Also, in one of my, I do have a room and I do use one of these fans. I got a really good deal on it. I probably shouldn't say it because people are going to get kind of jealous. Why not? I guess I'll tell you. All right, so I managed to find on eBay This guy was selling some leftover stuff from a store that he had where he was selling a lot of fans. And he had a fan that wasn't even used. It was still brand new. It's German made. And it's basically the exact same fan that you would see inside of a Vortex fan. It has the motor and the blades that are inside of it. But it didn't have a housing with it. It was kind of strange. But I did some research. I looked up the model. He had the model number of it listed. I looked up the model number. And this thing retailed for like $250, $300. It was 500 CFM at 0.2 SP pressure, which that's just phenomenal for... It was like a 8-inch or 10-inch fan. And I got it for $30. Brand new. It was brand new. So, and this thing is really powerful. And all I had to do was just build... First time I did it, I built a box, just a square wooden box, and mounted the fan inside of there and had some round cutouts. You know, I just kind of had to rig it a little. So if you're willing to do some extra work and be a little bit crafty with things, kind of do-it-yourself mentality, you can save some huge bucks. Like I said, I paid $30 for a $250 10-inch Vortex fan, and I can't complain about it. It's an amazing fan. All right, so we've talked about the basic ventilation system, the kind of ventilation you want to create for your space, and we've talked about the different types of fans that you can use. And so now we're going to just talk about calculating the proper size fan for your space. Again, plan. If you design your room out, the more thought you put into it beforehand, the less work it's going to be in the end trying to fix things or spending more money than you were anticipating. So just really plan all this stuff out. It's going to save you money. You're going to be more efficient. And that's what I'm here for. I'm going to help you do this. Okay, if you are a little bit intimidated, don't be. It's really easy, basic math. You can use a calculator. I won't tell anybody. Like I said, you're looking for CFM, cubic foot per minute. Your basic formula is get the square feet of your room, multiply your length of your room times your width of the room by your height of the room, and that's how you get your cubic feet of your space. And you know that your room, let's say your room is 8 by 8 by 8, so that means it has a volume of 512 cubic feet. The bare minimum that I would recommend, most places will tell you that you want to remove the air, and you want to exchange all the air that's in your room, a minimum of at least every 5 minutes. You want all new fresh air in that room every 5 minutes. But for me personally, I just like to aim for 2 or 3 minutes, okay? That's should always go above the minimum requirements. 5 minutes, sure, that might work if you're growing some cherry tomatoes, but we're growing ganja here. You know, we want our odor to be controlled. So go for a 2 minute or a 3 minute formula. And so you got your 512 cubic foot room, and your fan is, well, what you do is you divide that by 3, which is the amount of minutes that you are aiming for. So if you take 512, you divide it by 3, that equals 171, which this number, 171, is your CFM, your cubic foot per minute. So in order to remove all the air from that room, if there's no pressure on your fan, no static pressure on the fan at all, you would need at least 171 CFM fan to accomplish this. All right, so that's your most basic formula. Calculate the volume of your room, divide that volume by 3 minutes or 2 minutes, 5 minutes if you're on a budget, and the number that you get is the amount of cubic foot per minute that needs to be removed from your room and the strength of the fan that you will need. Keep in mind that the fan manufacturers are probably going to lie to you a little bit. If it says it's 300 CFM, it's probably not accurately going to be 300 CFM. So just always go above. Better to overestimate than underestimate at the end of the day. Okay, so that's the most basic thing. Now, it's not simple. It's not that easy to get your ventilation just right. The minimum CFM that you need for your space has a lot more factors that need to be considered. Okay, it's not just volume of your room, and that's the size exhaust fan you need. There's other factors. You got a carbon filter, you know, you got some ducting work, you got some heat in the room, you know, you got a freaking 600 or 1000 watt metal halide HPS, which is basically just a heater, and you want to get rid of the heat from your room. That's the main purpose of ventilation. So there's some other things that you want to consider. It's not just cut and dry. So I've actually found some really cool stuff on the internet. You know, you can type this if you want to get a visualization and see the numbers of how to calculate it. You know, just type it in Google, type calculating ventilation for indoor garden and anything like that, and you'll get some pretty cool answers. You know, everyone's got a different way of doing it. The one that I found that's my favorite, I'll just tell you what the link is. It's urbangardenmagazine.com and calculating fan requirements for your indoor hydroponic garden. Really awesome article. It really goes, it says that, I'll just read a piece of it. This is from their website, which is, they have a magazine. So this is from a magazine here. It says Urban Garden Magazine, April 1st, 2009, calculating the fan requirements. Okay, so what they did is they asked two experienced growers, Dan from Oregon and Fred from the Netherlands, to face off with their different opinions on how to calculate fan requirements. Whose method is best? And so they don't have just one method. They've got two methods here. So this is a really good read. And both of them tell you that you need to factor in all your additional things like your lights. So one, take a look here. Okay, so what Dan recommends is that you add 5% per air-cooled light, or 10 to 15% per non-air-cooled light. So what that's saying is, after you calculate the CFM that you need for your size space, add 5% CFM to that number if you're running an air-cooled light, or 10 to 15% for a non-air-cooled light. Okay, so that's a really good way of looking at it, just adding an extra percentage for each additional thing. If you're running CO2, it says add 5% for rooms with CO2, which not even, if you're running CO2, you really shouldn't even have an exhaust, so that's kind of, just don't worry about that. Maybe one day we'll have a show about CO2. It says for filters, add 20% for filter, which that's a lot. So if you have a filter and an air-cooled light, that right there is an extra 25%. So if you needed a 100 CFM fan for your room, well, guess what? Now you need 125 CFM fan for your room. And that's just the filter and your light. There's other factors, too, that you want to consider. The ambient temperature of your climate, depending on where you're at. You know, if you're in Southern California, you want to add, 25%. But for a hot and humid climate, like if you're in a tropical place, Hawaii or Florida, you want to add 40% to your CFM because you have a higher ambient temperature coming into your room, which is going to make it harder to get rid of the heat. Honestly, though, if you're talking about adding 40% to your CFM requirements, that's pretty serious. You're going to be spending a lot on just an exhaust fan. It's still, even with that, it's still going to be hard to keep your room at a decent 75 or 80 degrees. So what I'd recommend, if you have high temperatures in the summer or something like that, get yourself an air conditioner, okay? Save yourself a lot of headache. Get yourself split AC or use the air conditioner from your house. Something. Just use some sort of air conditioning. It also has the advantage of dehumidifying your air as well, which is just an added bonus because you don't want that much humidity when you're growing, especially flowering. So that's pretty much the way that you calculate your ventilation for your room. I might not have done the best job of explaining it to you, so if you guys have any questions, you know, just feel free to ask me. But please go on the internet and get up for yourselves. You'll see some pretty cool formulas and stuff. Let me just want to read this other one. Oh, interesting. So that method that Dan is recommending, even though he's in an 8x8 room, 512 cubic feet, which requires 171 CFM fan exhaust it, at the end of his calculations here for calculating his lights and his filters and everything like that, by the end of it, he ends up needing a 500 CFM fan. So that's just pretty crazy. That goes to show you that Just by doing the basic calculation, that's still not going to be enough ventilation for your room. So just keep that in mind. Some good stuff here. See, they say an intake port can be anything from, so they're talking about your intake, be anything from a gap under the door to an open window, even a hole in the wall. Best place for an intake is diagonally opposite from your exhaust fan. That way, air has to pass across the entire room. Very efficient. Yep, we just talked about that earlier. Yeah, that is really efficient. You can put a piece of screen. That's important. You put a screen over the opening, keep insects and animals out. You can use a piece of AC filter if you really want to be safe, trap all the dust as well. And they don't mention it, but another important thing is to make sure that your intake, especially if it's a passive one, is light proof. Because if your plants are in a flowering state, you don't want any light getting to them when they're in their dark cycle. The easiest way to do that is to just use some ducting and put some sharp bends in it. So that way, because air, and then paint, then make sure the inside of the ducting is black, because light's going to have a hard time bouncing its way around the curves and getting into your room. It's the easiest way, I'd say. But it's kind of ugly, and it can kind of be annoying. If you're using a 6-inch exhaust fan, you might need to put like 8 separate little ducts that are bent just to get enough passive intake for that fan. Another good way is to create what's called a louver, which they use them in dark rooms for photography. It's, you can do a search for them on Google and you can buy them. It's basically like a metal grill or plastic grill that's painted black, and it's interlocked with another grill, so you can't see through it. It's light tight, but it does have small enough little openings that are slanted for air to get through. Important, if you're doing a passive intake, make sure that you have enough intake for your exhaust. Okay? You want to go big. If you're using a 6-inch exhaust hole, you want to have at least 12 inches of intake. At least. Maybe even triple it. This is pretty interesting. I'm going to read the other guy's method here on the Urban Garden magazine. Fred from the Netherlands. He says he calculates it by the wattage. That's pretty interesting. Okay, let's see. Hello, first off, I'm used to working with Celsius, not Fahrenheit. That's right, because you're in Europe. But I've done my best to provide formulas for both. My method for calculating fan requirements does not cover active cooling with air conditioning systems or cool tube designs. We're talking about everyday grow chambers here, totally enclosed for airflow control with no large amounts of radiant heat into or out of the box. The mileage may vary some for these reasons. Right then, let's get started. He says, wow, this guy's actually got a really in-depth formula here. Start at the beginning and design this right. Before you even buy or cut anything for your new project, determine the highest temperature that your intake air will ever be when lights run. Call this T, or inlet. Now, use this formula to determine the difference in temperature you can tolerate. 80 degrees Fahrenheit or 27 degrees Celsius is just about the optimal for growing most plants. Sometimes 76 is better if you have to, but aim for 80. So your T inlet difference equals 27 degrees Celsius minus... Wow, you know what? This formula is really difficult to describe for a podcast. You're just going to have to go on the website and check it out for yourself. It's going to be really complicated for me to try to describe it to you guys. But basically what it's breaking down is to calculating the wattages in your space to determine the amount of ventilation you're going to need. See that little chart here? For if you got a total of 1,000 watts, you need 15 CFM additional for each extra cubic foot. Pretty interesting stuff here. All right, everybody, that's all I got for you for today's segment on ventilation. I hope you guys can walk away with something, because it's really important. Keeping a friendly environment and temperature for your plants. If you think about it, I mean, why do you think they put greenhouses in cold climates? Keep it warm, you know, to absorb radiant heat from the sun and trap that heat into the house to keep the place warm, because plants have very specific temperature requirements depending on what type of plant it is. Do not underestimate. One big mistake that most growers make in the beginning is not planning for their ventilation or heat. And what happens is you end up with some dead plants or just tall, lanky, stretchy plants with really crappy buds. It's not a pretty sight. Plants can be stressed out from heat. Anything over 85 degrees is just no good. I think I've read that cannabis just completely stops growing at 90 degrees and above. Same goes for when it's too cold. If it's around freezing temperatures or anything below 60 degrees or 65 degrees, the plants stop growing. And frosting or freezing can damage the plant and cause stress as well. Ask any gardener who had a heat problem in their grow and added an air conditioner, and they'll tell you it's like night and day difference in the plants and the end product. So hopefully you guys have learned something today. Let's talk about today's product of the week, which is going to be pantyhose. That's right, stockings. Sometimes you can see them really cheap for pennies. Very versatile tools. You can use them to cover up your intake and your exhaust pipes to make sure you're not getting any bugs into your grow room. You can use them to strain things. They're just nifty to have around. I mean, if you don't have a wife or a girlfriend, you're probably not going to have any laying around, so go ahead and get yourself a pair if you ever see them on sale. I want to stress that, kind of like if you guys have ever seen the show Good Eats with Alton Brown, he always tells you to try to get tools that are multi-purpose tools, and you can use them for more than just one thing. Any tool that is a specific tool and only has one job is just kind of stupid, and it's kind of a pointless tool to have. It's just gonna sit on your, you know, if you have a bread maker or something like that, it's gonna waste space in your kitchen. Same goes with all sorts of tools, you know, tools for your car, especially when it comes to your garden. Don't waste your money on things that you're only gonna use one time. Get yourself some multi-purpose, multi-function tools, like fishnet stockings. That's show number 6. I hope I blew you guys away. And thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Organic Grow Show. Check us out, donate, all that good stuff, email me, and look forward to our next show, which is going to be about planning your garden and feeding your plants. We're going to talk about some basic organic fertilization. So finally, enough about all this equipment and everything that I'm always talking about. We're finally going to start talking about some actual organics. Also, my wife couldn't make it for this show, but hopefully she'll be able to come on in the next show, and we might have a little news segment or something like that. Hopefully have some emails for you and stuff like that. So just stay tuned for next show, and peace out, everyone. Stay green.